The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is Gary Ho-Ho-Hoey, and you are hanging out with Tech Talk Radio. Enjoy.
And we're back with another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy.
We're the show that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet, and everything else that's associated with that.
Yes.
It's pretty much that. How you doing?
I'm not really happy right now.
And why are you not happy, Justin?
I'm not happy because my Broncos are losing.
Yeah, it's been a rough one for you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but give it this way. You know, by the time this airs, we'll know how it panned out.
It's not going to pan out well. It's not. It's
but
not.
If they're going to lose, you might as well lose to, you know, the greatest team in the NFL, right?
No.
Depending on who you talk to.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't know. Not going there.
Now, did you find, like, when you moved up to Denver, you suddenly, you were the biggest Broncos fan ever?
No.
Ever? No?
No.
It took a while?
I moved from San Diego, so I was a Chargers fan out there, but I grew up in South Dakota as a Broncos fan. So, 16, 17 years of being a Broncos fan. And then I moved to Arizona with my parents, and I just kind of dropped off the whole sports spectrum.
You didn't go for the Cardinals?
No.
I can almost hear the crickets.
Yeah. No. Why? No, I'm joking. No, I just didn't follow sports. And then, you know, joined the Navy, did the whole thing in there. I wasn't really following sports. And then moved back to San Diego. I'm like, well, I've been out of sports for so long. I guess I'll just be a Chargers fan, you know. But then, you know, coming to Denver, I tried to stick with the Chargers, you know, for another year or so. And I just couldn't do it. I mean, first off, all the things about them wanting to leave San Diego, which they eventually did, you know, now they're the Los Angeles Chargers. But,
right.
And I'm like, why, you know, why support a team that the owner doesn't support the city that they live in, you know? So like, why am I going to support them if they can't support the city? So I decided, you know what, I'm going to go back to my roots and, you know, go back to being a Broncos fan. So,
all right,
and I did that the year prior to them going to the Super Bowl and winning. So I'm like, I'm good.
So I know some people are listening right now and they're thinking, wait a minute, you lived in Tucson, which is, you know, the hotbed, the most beautiful desert area in all of Arizona. Then you moved to San Diego, where it's, you know, what, the perfect climate.
Well, I didn't
degrees.
Move from Tucson to San Diego, I moved from Tucson to Japan.
Okay.
Yeah. And then to San Diego.
So people are asking, why did you move to Colorado? What was it? What was the
My
thing
job.
It was your job. So it was a job.
Yeah. Yeah. I took the job with Tribune Media. I mean, well, I had worked for Tribune Media, but I had worked for the local TV station there in San Diego, but I got an opportunity to go to the corporate staff and help out all of our stations, not just one.
Right.
And so I took it, and I remember talking to the, at the time, the CIO, and he said, you know, do you want to move somewhere? First off, they said, do you want to move to Chicago? And I literally laughed at him. I'm like, no, because they're, you know, Tribune's based out of Chicago.
But the food is so good in Chicago.
Yeah, but you know what? So was the murder.
Well, yeah, it does have a little bit of a crime rate, doesn't it?
It's got a little bit of a problem with guns.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so I just said, no, I'm not going to move to Chicago. And he's like, well, do you want to move anywhere else? And I said, well, honestly, if I were to choose anywhere else, I'd probably choose Denver. And he goes, that's actually perfect because we're going to have a data center put out there and we want you to run it then if you're going to do it. And I'm like,
wow.
Okay.
Nice.
So they, you know, for a short while, there was a data center that was put in Denver. They ended up moving it to an actual, you know, full-time data center, you know,
right.
Where like the big boy data center stuff. But they, you know, they had moved me out there and it was great. I mean, my company paid for the moving expenses and paid for some living expenses while we were building our house. It was awesome. But
that
now we're
nice.
Here in Denver. I mean, it's such a beautiful city, beautiful state.
Yeah.
Love living here.
Yeah. It is beautiful up there.
Yeah.
I think I flew in there once. And that was about it.
Most people have flown into Denver at least once.
A lot of tech companies have moved their way in there as well to Denver.
Well, absolutely. I mean, think about, we were just talking about this a couple of weeks ago. Amazon is looking for another place to put their second headquarters, and Denver is in the running for the final city.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of talk here about Amazon coming in and people saying, you know, people saying, we would love to have Amazon in here because it'd bring a lot of jobs. It'd bring a lot more to the economy. Other people with valid points are saying, we don't want Amazon here because it's going to lead to higher prices, higher cost of living, more traffic.
How cool would that be if Amazon is there? Because you know you're going to have the drone deliveries, which is...
That too.
I want to see how that's going to work.
Yeah. No, that definitely would be a cool thing. We've already got two Amazon distribution facilities here.
Right.
They're major. So when we order stuff from Amazon, 8 times out of 10, it's actually delivered by an Amazon truck.
That's not cool. Not
a UPS, not a FedEx, not post office. It's delivered by an Amazon truck, which brings me to a point. I really cannot stand the Amazon trucks because they don't ring the doorbell.
Right.
They just walk up, put the package on your door and walk away.
That's it.
Yep, exactly. But the thing is, I think they do that because Amazon has that text or email notification saying, or if you have the Echo, it'll, you know, alert you saying, hey, your package has been delivered.
Right.
But in the neighborhood we live in, it's a nicer neighborhood. Everybody comes into our neighborhood and they steal packages. Literally, follow the trucks around. And when they stop the truck, they wait for about 2 minutes and they go out and they grab the package and run. You don't get your notification from Amazon for about 5 minutes, you know, sometimes.
Ooh, so that's not good.
Well, and if you're, especially if you're not home.
What do you think about this new thing that they want to do where they actually will get to your house and unlock the door with a special code? You know, they have a camera. See, in that respect, is it worth giving up the privacy to a driver to allow them to deliver the package?
It is a litigious nightmare,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, what litigious, if they trip as they're coming in the doorway?
It's a lawsuit nightmare. Because, yes, you're right. If they trip... I mean, I think if they were to trip and stuff, they're going to get protected by Amazon. No matter what, they're going to get protected by Amazon. But like, let's say you got a dog in the house, you know, and they open the door to deliver your package and the dog attacks the driver. The driver's going to try to possibly sue you or something. I don't know.
I did hear something, to be all fair, this week, that if you have a pet in your home, they will not deliver. Like a cat, a lizard, a bird, they won't deliver in the case.
I know, because my attack of goldfish is going to really screw somebody up.
Well, it could get away, you know, wiggle its way down in the storm drain and boom, there goes Goldie. I don't think I'd ever want that. Now, have you thought about Ring? You know, the Ring
video. I have Ring.
Yeah, the Ring video doorbell is great because you can see when somebody comes. Yeah.
I like the idea about Ring. My only problem with Ring is I don't like how long it takes to open up their app. I get a doorbell ring and it's like, ding dong, somebody's at your door. I click the alert immediately. It opens up the app. The app takes about 2 seconds to open. Then it takes about another 5 seconds for the video feed to buffer.
Right.
And by that time, the delivery driver's gone. I mean, no matter what, those guys are such tight schedules. They wait 5 seconds. They're gone.
Somebody should develop a locker system. Think about this.
They do. They have Amazon lockers.
Well, how about a locker system at your house? So when they come in to make a delivery, they've got a key code. Boom, they get in. They close it. There's your package. It's locked.
Well, there is some products you can buy that don't require key codes. I can't remember the name of the products, but they're basically like large bolted down post office boxes. You know, the old blue boxes that you used to drive up and used to open up and put your mail in and then drive away.
Look like R2-D2. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. So they make those things, but obviously it only fits certain sizes of packages.
Yeah.
But they do have it where you can take it and then it'll be bolted down so nobody can take it out. They also have this new thing I saw. What is it called?
Package guard.
Yeah, there we go. Package guard. Right. Yeah. So like it's, I don't know about this thing. It's kind of weird. It's literally looks like a Roomba. It sits on your porch.
Really?
I think you bolt it down to your porch somehow. I don't know, whatever. But it looks like a Roomba. But when they set the packages down, it's like a pressure sensor. Think Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Nice.
You know, where he's got the thing where he's got to take that thing off without setting off the pressure alarm, whatever. But if they put the packages down, it arms it, and then it sends you an alert saying, hey, you've got a package on your package sensor there.
Nice.
If somebody comes up and steals the packages, it'll alert you, and then it sounds an alarm. It's like this loud, audible alarm.
Right.
First off, people steal the packages during the days in neighborhoods.
Nobody's home.
Nobody's around to even get it. So people are, I don't like it, especially the fact that it's pretty expensive.
Well, I think the idea is probably safer. I know I always feel safer because, you know, we get a lot of stuff, products to test, and luckily we haven't run into a problem. But I would rather them hold it at a facility where I can go pick it up. Now, people will say, well, that's inconvenient. Well, you know,
how much is your package worth?
We live in different times, and it's very possible that it could be taken.
They do have the Amazon lockers, and we actually, our neighborhood has a locker that's about 4 blocks away.
Right.
Not that too far, and they do various sizes of lockers. I've never actually used that locker. I'm thinking about it, possibly trying it one time just to see.
But you would get a notification that something's there.
Yes, of course. They would. It's the same kind of notification. Your package has been delivered to, you know, Amazon Locker, and then here's your code.
Right.
You know, and you go up there and you type in the code, and then boom, your locker pops open. But we're talking in the neighborhood here, my personal neighborhood. There's talk amongst the neighbors saying, hey, you know, we got this commercial space. That's where our brewery, we have a brewery in Midtown. There's a brewery here, and there's also a coffee shop, but there's also a common space in between those two shops. And we're like, why don't we see if Amazon might, you know, put a locker in here? Cause there's a good, you know, 1500, maybe even closer to 3000 people that live in this neighborhood. It's a big neighborhood. So
right.
You would think that maybe Amazon would like to put, a locker in the common room and serve the neighborhood. I don't know. Maybe they'll do that eventually, but
it would be a good idea. Now, you know, yeah. I don't know if you know this, but they're already doing this. And we talked about this a couple of months ago. If you are expecting a package from the United States Postal Service, or even mm-hmm. a letter, even a check or a credit card sure. that comes in the mail, they're now doing informed delivery through most areas. So what that is you go to informeddelivery.usps.com and you could sign up for the service. And what it will do is tell you, because I in my house that I have in California, we have it the old school way. You know, the postman comes up, he drops the letter in the slot and it goes right into the house. And then
the dog eats it.
Yeah, exactly. But with this way, you know, if you have to, you know, walk to a mailbox, it's not on your immediate property. You want to find out what's arrived. Well, you sign up for the service. It will tell you in the morning while it's being sorted what you have coming. So
that with packages. I mean, I can do a tracking on a package. You just have to purchase tracking. That's all you have to do.
But now the USPS does it because, you know, they're really competing hard with the Postal Service. I mean, UPS and FedEx and now Amazon. And the USPS is actually a little cheaper. And I've been pretty pleased. Yeah, I've been pretty pleased with what they do.
Well, they need to. I mean, the USPS, I mean, I'm not sure if it's still the same thing, but I remember a couple of years ago talking about they're just losing a lot of money because of all these other delivery companies. And they're just not keeping up with technology and customer service. And, you know, so, yeah, I think they've got to step up their game.
All right. I want to mention this before we move on to some of the other tech. I don't know if you've seen this campaign. It's a TV campaign that is on television now called How Life Unfolds. And they have a Facebook page because, let's face it, the sending of letters has been reduced with, you know, handwritten letters, which is always a nice personal touch.
My handwriting has gone to crap
because you never know, right?
Since I never write with a pen anymore. It's always on a keyboard.
Yeah. And you get tired too easily, too. It's like suddenly I'm like, oh, my hand hurts.
I read a paragraph and I'm like, oh, my hand is all cramped up.
So they're really pushing the idea, especially for the holidays, because some people have gotten into this whole thing of just sending a Christmas card with your photo on it, blah, 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 through email. And that is, you know, I always thought it was kind of cool around the holidays to have a Christmas card and hang it.
I still like that. I like that. I do not like the email Christmas cards. Like, I don't care.
And people do it because, you know, they don't, that way they can do it. In one evening, send it out to multiple people. It costs less, the whole bit. So this campaign is really saying, listen, how life unfolds. It's for the use of paper and for boxes and et cetera. Mm-hmm. They have a new campaign, though, with this little kid. It is adorable. This little kid, and they're talking about the importance of paper in our lives. Paper and a crayon can make a difference. And he's writing a letter to his dad. And it says, even when one of your parents is, you know, 1,000 miles away, and he goes out in the backyard and he turns it into a paper airplane and he throws it over the fence. And he does this every day.
That's cute.
Right? Well, it shows a neighbor walking out and this old elderly gentleman looking and seeing the paper airplanes. And he picks them up and reads them. Next thing you know, he's taking those letters and he's putting them in a box. And he's sealing the box and he's mailing the box. And of course, where does he mail it? He mails it to the kid's dad. And the kid's dad is opening the box and reading these letters that are on paper that the kid has written with a crayon.
That's so cute.
Next thing you know, this neighbor gets a box.
Okay.
And that box is from the kid's dad.
From the dad, okay.
And what do you think they are?
Return letters?
Return letters as paper airplanes. And what does the neighbor do? He goes out and throws them over the fence.
That's so cool.
I saw that. And just, you know, my heart just kind of went, oh, so cool. So the idea of using paper and shipping is still, you know, it's a still big part of us today.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you want to know the importance of paper, I'd say just watch an episode of The Office. I mean, Dunder Mifflin, I mean, they are just on point.
We did get some tech questions. And anytime you have a question for us tech-wise, and don't even worry about the level of tech. If you think, you know, you need to ask us about server management and domain management. No, you don't have to. If you've got something where it can be as easy as saving a file, this, you know, there's a lot of people out there that really are not too familiar with the process of saving files, mm-hmm. printing, selecting printers, the basics that we have with a computer, and never feel silly about that. So you can reach us anytime. Drop us an email, andy@techtalkradio.com or even
Justin at techtalkradio.com or just what tech guys will hit us both, right? Tech guys at techtalkradio.com.
You even go onto our website. We have a contact form on there where you can ask a question and then, or call and leave a message at 520-204. What is my number?
I don't know. 520-204-1754.
That is the number. And, you know, we'll get to your question, obviously. Now, Bill sent us a question.
Sure. Yeah. Bill in Tucson.
Bill, he asked the question, what's better, Roku or Amazon Fire Stick? He is looking for something with a browser. And I will tell you, we had this discussion a couple of weeks ago, and you mentioned Amazon Fire Stick.
Well, and hold on. He said he's looking for something with a browser.
Right.
So Amazon doesn't have a browser.
Yes, it does.
What?
Yes, you can put a browser on the Fire Stick.
Really?
Yes, Fire Stick or even the Amazon Fire, you can put a browser. Roku, you can't.
Okay, well then there we go. Amazon Fire Stick. Question solved.
But I got to tell you, though.
Great job.
Whenever you think, Justin, that I don't listen to you, right?
I never said you don't listen to me.
That I don't follow your advice. All right, what is it we talked about a month and a half ago? We talked about Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
What did I do? I went out and got myself some Bitcoin.
Sure.
And I've made some money with Bitcoin. So I'm very happy.
I was just telling you before the show in our pre-show notes there that I actually just went out and spent, I invested $1,000 into Ethereum. So right. That's an alternative to Bitcoin, and Ethereum supposedly is going to be taken off here pretty soon, is from what I can gather.
We can't guarantee.
There's no guarantee. Yeah. There's no guarantees. There never is. But people have been talking. They're like, hey, you know, if you want to invest in something, go with Ethereum. So I took $1,000 that we had sitting in an account somewhere, and I just said, you know what? Let's let it rise. See what happens. You know, hopefully I'll be a millionaire pretty soon. I don't have to do this damn show anymore.
You'll own the show. I'll sell it to you.
Yeah, sell it to me. Huh?
All right. So. We mentioned 2 weeks ago, so I listened to you on the Bitcoin. Two weeks ago, you mentioned, why don't I have Amazon Prime, right?
Did you go out and buy Amazon Prime?
So I went out, and because we got that big giant TV now in the TV room, and I moved.
How big is it?
55. It's 55-inch. Okay. 4K UHD.
Oh, so, that's right, 4K. Yes,
I love it. So I haven't watched anything in 4K, though, so I have no idea what 4K looks like.
It's beautiful.
Well, so I went ahead and I moved that TV into the sewing area, and that's where...
Wait, you have a sewing area? Yeah,
Gloria has her own... It's the garage. The garage.
Oh, gosh.
I can't call it the garage. I have to call it the sewing area. So I moved it in there, but there's no connection. So I took your recommendation. I got the Amazon Fire Stick. I was going to get the full box, got the stick for $39.
Yeah, Fire Stick is super cheap.
It came with a month free of Amazon Prime. So I said, you know what? Should I do it? If I don't like it within a month, I'll cancel it, right?
Yeah.
I've watched something like 7 movies already on it, and I love it. There's TV shows.
Prime TV is good.
I was told to watch this show, The Castle, Man Castle.
Man in the High Castle.
Man in the High Castle. I was told to watch that.
Yeah, that's a good show.
Show coming up in next year. It is John Krasinski.
That's the guy from The Office.
Yeah, and he's in Jack Ryan, so I want to see that.
Yes.
So... I got the stick. So I got the Amazon Prime. I got the Fire Stick, like you said. So mm-hmm. I do listen to you.
Said you didn't.
I'm very happy with it too.
Yeah.
I watched last night American Werewolf in London, and seeing it in HD is just a weird experience. My friends came over though, and they hated it. They hate my television.
Why?
My friends said that it looks like a soap opera because everything's so bright and crisp, and the people do look different when you're watching it. On a monitor that's got that intense high resolution, high frame rate, they said it just doesn't look natural.
Wow.
So I'm like, I guess, you know, some people love it, some people don't.
I remember watching my very first 4K was at my buddy's house here in Denver. And it was, what was it? Discovery Channel's Life, the second season or whatever of Life.
Right.
And that was really cool. Watching that in 4K, I'm like,
oh, now, do I have to have a special HDMI connector for 4K?
That's what I'm wondering. It's got to be HDMI 2.0 or HDMI 3.0. I can't remember exactly. I don't know. Google that there. But I think you have to have a decent quality HDMI cable.
Right.
It's like the I want to, yeah, I think it's like HDMI 2, I think, is the second standard of it, because it can handle more bit rate.
Because I saw something on, Prime that said, because I'm pulling Prime down off my Xbox is how I'm watching it. But it said that it was 4K, but then when I looked at the screen, it said 1080p. So I'm thinking, well, that's not 4K then.
Yeah, no,
the TV's not seeing it in 4K. So I got to figure a way to get by that, because I really want to see what it looks like.
Yeah. Double check your HDMI cable there. And I know, like, you've got cable. You've got Comcast Xfinity.
Right.
I believe they have a couple channels that will support 4K. I believe so. I know that my buddy, when we watched at his house, he was on Dish.
Right.
Dish Network. And they had a couple channels that supported 4K. But, I mean, the cable providers, satellite providers, it's going to be very hard for them to be able to handle or to put 4K content into their delivery system, because they have such restricted bandwidth. I mean, they're carrying almost 1,000 channels
right
across a coaxial cable. They can't fit the bit rate. That's why you'll notice sometimes too, you'll notice that some channels, even in HD, look better than other channels.
Yeah.
Because they lower the bit rate on channels that maybe we're not going to think that too many people are going to be watching.
Got it.
You know, so they'll change the bit rate even during things like the Super Bowl. Now, let's say the Super Bowl's on CBS, okay?
Right.
CBS might look one way, it looks good. It's HD during, you know, the typical week, but when it comes to the Super Bowl, all of a sudden, wow, CBS looks really good.
Yeah.
It's because they dedicate more bandwidth to that particular channel. They turn up the bit rate so they get the best quality. But at the cost of that, you've got things like Lifetime TV or Hallmark. Oh, darn, Andy, those are your favorite channels,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, what the heck?
I got to see those. Yeah, they lower 4K. The bitrate on those channels. Yeah.
I saw an ad the other day for Mr. Pillow, and I commented. I said,
My Pillow.
Oh, My Pillow. Yeah.
I said, I have two of them.
You do? Well, I said, the guy looks like he's in our living room. I love it.
He actually was. You were not watching a commercial. He was actually standing there. You were a little bit drunk.
Give me back my pillows, Mr. Pillow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one more question here. We're talking about TV, but Sue.
Yeah.
Sue, who listens to the show in Fort Worth, right, said she's thinking about cutting the cord. Okay. Wants to decide what is the best over-the-air antenna. OTA is over-the-air. Right. Do you need to get the powered ones? Well,
if she's in Fort Worth, I would think, well, you got a lot of buildings in Fort Worth, right?
Well, it depends on where the transmitters are for that particular city. I mean, most cities, they have their transmitters for all of their stations usually located on one or two towers in the same area.
Right.
So usually people only have to get an antenna pointed in one direction.
All right.
It depends on how far out you are from that. I would personally start with just one of those simple paper thin antennas that you can put in your window, or you can even mount it behind your TV. It's a paper thin antenna. You can buy them on Amazon for $10.
Right.
The Amazon Basics brand. It's just a paper thin antenna. Try that and see how many channels you get. If you live far away, let's say 30 to 50 to 100 miles away, yes. Now at that point, you're going to start to need to get a powered antenna. Or if you live in a downtown area where there's a lot of buildings blocking your signal, you're going to want to get a powered antenna.
Right.
You don't necessarily even need to get the powered antenna. You could just need to get a power amplifier. So you could still use that paper thin antenna, and it would just then plug into an amplifier. And the amplifier must be within 6 to 10 feet of the antenna. So you don't want to run like a 50-foot cable, coax cable from your antenna and then put it into the amplifier, because by that time the signal has just gone to crap. Right. You want to put the amplifier as close to the antenna as possible, and then you can amplify that signal. That's what I did. I have a simple little antenna in my window.
Right.
I have a amplifier about 3 feet away from it, because it's got a 3-foot cord, plugs into the amplifier. Then the amplifier then amplifies it and then distributes it downstairs into my basement, where all of my cables come together. And I just put a splitter on it, and I split it into every room.
And you're still able to get good reception because
yes, on all my TVs, I have perfect reception on all channels.
Now, if you look at the box, depending on which company is Turk makes them, and there's others that are out there. They actually will have a rating that'll say, you know, if you live within this amount, and some of them have a website that you can go to where you can enter in your address, and it will tell you the channels you should be able to pick up.
There's a website. Here we go. It's called TV Fool. FOOL.com. You go to TVFool.com, you click on TV signal locator, and then you type in your address, and it will actually tell you exactly where your TV channels are going to come from within a 360-degree range. So, like, if I type my address in, it's going to say, hey, your channels are going to be coming from the Southwest.
Right.
Because that's where we have – because in the Southwest is Lookout Mountain, part of the Rocky Mountains right there. That's where all of the TV stations have their antennas at.
We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the brand-new smartphones that have come out in the last couple of months. The one that's wowing a lot of people, another one that people want to be wowed by. So we'll kind of go over that with Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemon. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, Bill Nye, the science guy here. Whenever I am listening to the radio, especially Tech Talk Radio, it's just such a party.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. Thanks for having us on. You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. And if you go to our Spreaker, you'll find the link right there. Subscribe. That way you can get any show update. Big week for those with smartphones. We got our hands on the all-new Google Pixel 2 XL.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, I'm blown away by this device. Now, as you know, I have a Samsung Galaxy S6 Edge Plus, and I love it. I use it as a Wi-Fi device, though, because it doesn't have service. But I usually use an iPhone, and my iPhone is slowed down incredibly. The battery life is absolutely the worst. I hate my iPhone 6S. The Google Pixel 2 is available only from Verizon right now. It has a fingerprint sensor on the back of it, which I like better than having it on the front. No home button, again, which is kind of a trend right now that... you know, unless with the higher phones, I think the iPhone 8 has the home button still, but the iPhone 10, the newest one that came out this week, doesn't. And it's pretty easy to use. The only thing I haven't been able to figure out yet is how to add shortcuts to, you know, the features that I use the most onto a page, which you could do with the Samsung Galaxy.
You can't just add icons to your
I can't figure out how to do it. It's like
click on the icon in the big app drawer and just drag it to your.
Be nice if that worked that way, because if I do that with, say, the Snapchat one, and I try to drag it up, oh, well, there you go. Thank you, sir.
I swear.
That's why we have Justin on the show.
That'll be $500, please.
Okay, that worked. It was doing something else with widgets, and it was throwing me. So, okay, now I know that. So now I'm completely pleased with the phone. There have been issues reported with the Google Pixel 2, which I don't know if you've heard about. One of the things that surprised the heck out of me was the battery life. Battery life on it is amazing. Mm-hmm. Not touching the phone, I got about 3 days of battery out of it, just kind of constantly. Going back to it once in a while.
Yeah, but how many apps did you put onto it?
None.
Yeah, exactly why. No, I it is why. The more apps you put on your phone, the more things that are being checked on in the background processes and things, your battery life will drastically lower.
Well, the thing that concerned me, though, is when I plugged it in, it comes with its very own USB-C charger. So you can't use, you know, how with other devices, you could go ahead and use different charging cords because they plugged in generally a standard USB into a charger. They have this own USB-C device, which is cool. But what really scared me is how hot this phone gets.
I'm concerned
about that because I'm concerned at the heat that it generates while it's charging is going to cause other issues when it comes to the screen. And I don't know if that's the case, because again, we've only had it in our hands for about 3 days and we're going through extensive testing this week, but that really does worry me.
That would worry me. You know about, obviously, what was it, a couple years ago or last year, the Note 7, Samsung Galaxy Note 7, where it had the issues with literally exploding or burning up.
That was a Note, the Note 7.
The Note 7, yeah. So did you hear about what happened with the Note 8?
No. Have they had the same issues?
No. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Now it's freezing.
Oh, great.
I swear to God, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make it up. First off, it's going to burn up. Now it's going to freeze.
Yeah,
but now they have issues with it freezing. Like anytime you try to use the call app, try to open up contacts or make a phone call, the operating system freezes.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah. Well, there is another issue recently. So in hindsight, like I said, I'll go through this The Google Pixel 2 XL. I like it. One of the other features I thought was kind of cool, I don't know if you could see, I'm showing Justin on the screen there, where it actually says squeeze for the assistant.
Oh, cool. Which, wow.
So you squeeze the device and your assistant will come up.
Oh, okay.
The volume buttons are weird because they're in a different place. That's kind of strange. You always want to go to the upper buttons for that, and that doesn't seem to work. Camera on it, pretty amazing.
It should be noted, though, that there has been widespread coverage over the big issue with the Pixel 2. The Pixel 2 XL is the screen burn-in. Now, they're using an OLED screen, but apparently they're having some major issues with the screen icons getting burnt into the screen. Think of, like, you know, old computer monitors and stuff. After you leave a screen turned on for a while, it'll actually, the icons will kind of burn into the desktop. So they've been having issues with that, and Google is trying to come up with a fix for that.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, that's not a software fix.
That's
a hardware fix.
New display, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So their QA department and Google really, really messed up there, I think.
Well, I do like a fact too, when you turn your phone off, you still get the time.
Yeah.
So, and they've done that with a lot of devices. But again, overall, I like it so far. I like the feel of it. It's similar, it feels like, to the Galaxy 8. Now, what I really want to do is get my hands on the iPhone 10, which, of course, came out last week with a lot of controversy, a lot of people saying, we're not going to get our phone. And even the press companies were out there saying, well, it looks like, you know, Apple's not going to be shipping till
December.
3 to 6 months
wait.
Yeah, like that wasn't the case.
Or no, 3 to 6 weeks, sorry.
Yeah, that wasn't the case. It looked like Apple stores, Best Buys, they all had them on launch date, which was the 3rd.
# fake news.
So, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, what that was all about, because I do have a couple of friends that have received them, and I'm dying to talk to them to find out what they thought, because we haven't got our hands on one. We generally won't unless it comes from Apple or we go out and buy it ourselves, and we're a small show. We don't have the kind of budget.
Yeah.
So,
because, not for $1,000 for a phone.
Yeah, you know, and Verizon in the past has been able to send us devices to look at, like they did with this Pixel, but they can't send. Apple as a real strict, no, our phones only go out to the press people we want it to go to. So, you know, we don't have our hands on an iPhone 10 yet. But so far, I got to say, CNET has done a pretty good piece on that. They were able to get their hands on one, you know, the day it was made available. They were on CBS and everything, and I was watching some of that. They seem to be pretty impressed with it, and most of the reviews are saying they're pretty happy that this phone is kind of the game changer when it comes to the smartphones we've seen over the past year. Which, yeah. I don't know, because I really love the Samsung Galaxy S8. I really did.
I beg to differ. I mean, they may have improved on technologies that have been out. I mean, all these technologies Apple's saying on their phone, Android's had them for years.
Right.
And so there's really nothing new about the iPhone. There's no innovation behind it. Sure, maybe they took the facial recognition and they turned it into more robust with 3D facial recognition instead of just the 2D. Now, that improves on it, but they're touting it as, oh, we invented this. No, you didn't. You know, you didn't do anything. You may have improved on it, but we've had it for a lot longer than
I think that's why I like the Samsung Galaxy S8, because it had these, I mean, no home button, so I got used to it with that. So it was nothing, you know, really new. And battery life was impressive on it. So great screen.
Have you seen the people that are, there's some people on the internet, I guess they're just going for internet points here, but they're going out and buying the iPhone X. And as soon as they walk out of the store, they take it and they drop it on the ground
and
do a drop test. Have you seen
that? Yeah.
Because they're looking, they're trying to get the social media viral thing where they can put it on their website and then put ads on their website. And then they can go out and they make enough money off those ads because people are coming to the website to watch some idiot drop his brand new $1,000 phone. They'll make enough money to buy 3 more phones.
I just don't get it.
You know, off the ads.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Now why do we want to watch it? You know, don't drop your
people
phone.
People just like to see that kind of stuff.
That is one thing.
The cringe factor.
That is one thing I have got out of all of the reviewers of that. Now, I will tell you something. I had the Galaxy S8 Active from AT&T. Love that device. That's actually the device that if I had any device right now, although I need more time with the Google Pixel, I would say that would have been the device because you didn't need a case for it. It was so well designed, so well constructed, at least in my opinion. I did drop it and nothing happened to it. But one of the things that some of the critics or the reviewers are saying right now is if you have an iPhone 10, get a case. That you need to have a case with
Yes.
Because it will break.
Yes. they almost insist you buy a case from them.
Yeah.
Like if you don't, like I remember when I bought my S7,
right.
The guy was like, "You don't want a case?" I'm like, "No, I'll do it. I'll get a case somewhere else or something." He looked visibly upset with me that I would not buy a case. And it wasn't for the fact that he was visibly upset for the concern over my phone. It's like he wasn't making any money off of it.
Like you degraded his family.
They mark up their prices on the cases there at the store by like 10 or 20%. So
yeah.
I mean, no, I'm not going to buy a case at the store. I'm going to go do my shopping somewhere else. And yeah, if I take my phone and I walk out of the store without a case on it and I drop it, that's my thing. I'll go and buy a case somewhere for a little bit cheaper.
So after hearing what you've heard so far about the iPhone X, and you know, it's getting good reviews, the speed, if the speed is anything like this Google Pixel 2, I'll be like, yeah, okay. Would you convert?
Nope.
No?
Nope, not at all. Nope. I don't like the way that Apple locks down their products where everything has to be vetted through Apple and you have, I mean, you can't customize your phone. You can't do any of that kind of stuff with an Apple device. With Android, I make it the way I want my phone to be. Like for instance, with Apple, you know, your icons on your screen, they all have to be in rows. They have to first fill up the top row from left to right. Then it goes to the next row, then the next row, then the next row down towards the bottom.
Right.
I don't like that. With the Android, I can place just four icons on a particular on a page of my desktop, and I can put them in any order, in any position, anywhere on the screen, and I can then create another page. So if I want one page dedicated just for finance apps, and I don't want them all lined up left to right, top to bottom, I can put the icons anywhere on the screen that I want. I can put one icon in each corner,
right?
If I wanted to.
I think you can do that through the iTunes app, though.
It's been a long time since I've used iPhone, and I don't know if they've converted to that. But ever since I've seen iPhone, you have to, you know, I just don't like the layout. I don't like the design. Yeah. I don't like the way they have it locked down so much.
Right. Well, battery life supposedly is about the same, not the same, but they're saying it isn't leaps and bounds improvements over everything else. So before we start thinking, you know, my God, I'm going to get 3 days of battery of this with a moderate use, that probably won't happen.
Sure.
So just get ready for that.
But again, the more apps you put on your phone, the less battery life you're going to have.
Most ridiculous argument this week on the web, you know what that was, right?
No.
Was the Google cheeseburger emoji. Have you heard about
this? Oh, gosh. Yes. 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 This was hilarious. So there was a guy who tweeted at Google, or I think it was actually at the CEO of Google, tweeted him and compared the Apple emoji for a cheeseburger to the Google emoji for a cheeseburger, and was complaining that on the Google emoji for a cheeseburger, the cheese was located beneath the meat patty.
On top of the bun.
On top of the bun, yeah. But it was like the first layer was basically bun, then cheese, then patty, then lettuce, then bun. Whereas, you know, everybody knows a cheeseburger, the cheese goes on top of the meat.
Right.
And so he was complaining to Google about this. And the CEO of Google had the most epic response, was like, you know, I think he said something like, "I'm so sorry about this. I will drop everything on Monday and make this top priority for all Google engineers."
To see if they could fix it. Yeah.
To see if they can fix it. I'm like, that's hilarious.
We're going to go grab ourselves a cheeseburger. We'll be right back with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
My entire life is a lie. I'm Justin Lemmy.
There's the name of the show this week.
There we go. I'm Justin Lemmy. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater and RiffTracks.com, and you're listening to the greatest show on the planet, Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. Now, we were just talking about the new iPhone.
The brand new iPhone that was released on the 3rd of November, 3rd of this month.
And then we were also talking about emojis.
Yes.
And
the
cheeseburger emojis, yeah. So a perfect little segue between the two of those together. There was actually something that happened this week to Apple. It was really interesting, and it's kind of ironic in terms of if you think about it. But the issue happened where iOS 11.1 was released on Halloween with a bunch of bug fixes and improvements, and they also said they released a bunch of new emojis. But the one problem, the glaring problem, was you could not type the letter I.
What?
When you're typing a text message or anything, you could not type the letter I. Every time you try to type the letter I, it would convert it into the letter A with a question mark emoji next to it. Not a question mark, but a question mark emoji. So it was some sort of an autocorrect error that is going on with it, which is really interesting because you think about it, the name is iPhone. You can't even type the name of your own phone without it be calling the A question mark phone.
Mm-hmm.
Apple was trying to resolve things with customers via direct message on Twitter. They were telling people, you know, hey, if you have a problem, direct message us on Twitter. We'll have a conversation with you one-on-one and we'll get you to fix it. But it looks like the only thing that people are saying that could be fixing it is turning off autocorrect.
I have more errors on the Google keyboard than I do with the iPhone keyboard.
See, that's what I used to as well when I first started using it. But the more and more you use the Google keyboard, it learns from user predictive. It knows what you're trying to type.
How about dictation? What works better for you? Have you tried both?
I really don't use dictation. It just feels unnatural to me when I have to like talk and then say, you know, period or comma, you know. What if I actually want to say the word comma? You know, I can't because it's going to put a comma in.
Do you use emojis?
Very rarely.
Like, I see why we have emojis, but is it like television channels? We use generally the same four or five emojis and that's
pretty much
it?
Pretty much.
You know, I would think that's obviously geared. I want to say it's geared to the younger set. Although once in a while I will send a happy faced emoji or sad one if it's, you know, related.
That's basically what I use it for, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, the introduction of 70 new emojis, like a brain.
Yeah.
You've got a brain.
Seriously.
You've got an angry face that has a zipper across the mouth with what looks like would be curse words. I don't know. What,
yeah.
You don't send that to your boss.
The thing is yeah, exactly. Emojis really, you know, they obviously started in Japan. I mean, in Japan, they started as text-based emojis. People would use things like backslashes, forward slashes, upper caret, tilde symbol. And the Japanese are able to figure out a way to like really create amazing little images with just standard characters or hiragana or katakana at the time. So that's where emojis really took off. And then somebody said, well, why don't we try to make these into little cute little icons that you can put on your phone? And people did that and it took off in Japan. People loved it. And then it came over here, you know, to America.
Hopefully they'll have that bug fix done. Now, when I'm talking about dictating, I don't know if you heard about this story in a woman in Massachusetts. Mm-mm. She was leaving a comment at the bottom of a New York Times story, you know, because let's face it, we use our phones everywhere. And if you get into that habit of dictating, you'll do it on everything, whether you're sending a text message, whether you're filling out something online, an email, but she was dictating this New York Times piece into her phone. Right. And it was a response to a comment that was somewhat political. But right in the middle of it, some friend walked in. So what do? You put your phone down, right? It carried on her entire conversation. It started as a post about politics and then went into a conversation about knee injuries and hard boiled eggs. And then she comes back to her phone, finishes up her thought sentence and hits send. Only then realizing that her piece had just went to the New York Times. Yeah, it was full of like stories about recipes of the hard boiled eggs and then wrapping it up back into politics.
Just, you know what? I got to say, that could have gone so much worse. I got another story here that I thought was pretty cool. There's this thing now. It's a luxury hotel that actually caters to gamers and it's in Taiwan.
Really?
Yeah. So if you love video games, I love video games, but honestly, as we were discussing in pre-show, I don't have time to play video games much anymore with Eric. But if you love video games and you have the means and the money, you may want to book a flight to Taiwan because there's a new luxury hotel it's all for you. It's all for gamers.
Just for the real big gamer.
Yeah, it's just for gamers. Yeah. Right. So it's called the iHotel, which is really, you couldn't think of a better name than the iHotel.
Well, the Gamer's Palace or something.
Yeah, I mean, come on, really? But it's got a gaming systems in each of the rooms,
whoa,
including two computers with blazing fast processors,
wow,
a 46-inch flat-screen TV, and DX Racer gaming chairs.
Oh, those are cool. Have you seen those?
So, yeah, I've definitely seen those. And the rooms, they look really cool. I mean, it's pretty cool. I like it. I got to say, it makes me smile. And it's not that expensive. I guess the rooms are only going for about $100 a night. So, I mean, you got to pay, what, $2,500 to get there to Taiwan from here in America. But, hey, if you can do it, then you can stay at a hotel and just play games. Or, better yet, you could just go and play in your mom's basement.
Think about it this way. The maids don't have to work because seriously, if you're a gamer and you're checking into a hotel to play games, you're not even using the bed. You're sitting in those gaming chairs all night long.
Yeah, but imagine after you check out what they're going to have to deal with. That's going to be just disgusting.
Sweaty,
with all the Cheetos bags and Mountain Dew
Jolt
cans.
And
the chairs, they're going to have to throw out the chair after each each guest.
Oh, man. You know, can you imagine taking Misa and saying, honey, we're going to Taiwan. You know, she's never been to Taiwan.
First off, she would never go.
But yeah, but you say we're going to Taiwan. So you think of all the great pagodas and palaces that they're in Taiwan.
And we're going to stay at a gaming hotel.
You get to the room and you start playing games. You would be in so much trouble.
I would not have a wife after that. She would divorce me. Literally, straight up.
I cannot even see that. You know, I've done that before where I've actually gone to a hotel with the kids, Chris, you know, to go to Disneyland. And they've had controllers there. So you could play. I think they had Nintendo. And I started picking up as soon as I get in the room. You know, you put everything down and I go to the TV. That's usually the first thing I do, right?
I do too, yeah. I turn on the TV, find the local channels.
Right. And I think I started playing a game right away and all I heard was, no, you don't.
Yeah. Nuh-uh. Well, speaking of beds and hotels, do you ever have a problem sleeping? I mean, I from time to time, I'll have a problem.
Is this turning into a Mr. Pillow commercial or My Pillow?
Yes, it is. For $99, we'll send you a Mr. My Pillow, made right here in America, in Minnesota.
He made some kind of a deal that I didn't even know about. Okay, so it's not about the My Pillow guy then.
No. There's a new podcast. It's called Sleep With Me, and it.
Beg your pardon.
It's called Sleep With Me. I know. They might have wanted to rethink the naming thing there.
Yeah.
But it is so boring. It puts people to sleep. But it's by design. It's actually, they're trying to do that. Creator and host, Drew Ackerman.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Kim Commando. I thought.
Oh, wrecked. That's it. Game over. Show's done.
We'll
see you next week, folks.
You know we love Kim. All right, so go on.
Drew Ackerman, he's suffered from insomnia for years, has apparently mastered the art of boring storytelling, kind of like you.
Yeah, thank you.
And he shares his unique talent to help others get some shut-eye. So according to Ackerman, it's the podcast the sheep listen to when they get tired of counting themselves.
Oh, my Lord.
So, yeah, check it out. If you have trouble sleeping, I might try this just for, you know, research purposes.
Right, right.
It's called Sleep With Me.
Do they recommend not listening to it while you're driving in cars?
I'm pretty sure you probably shouldn't do that. Yeah, which is actually odd because that's pretty much only where I listen to podcasts is when I'm driving. So
yeah,
I'm going to have to find a time where I'm not driving and listening to this. But I want to see it. So
yeah, see, that's the thing. If you want to check out a podcast that's different, one that'll put you to sleep, you know, it's either that or you watch the Golf Channel.
The Golf Channel.
That always works.
You want the Hallmark Channel. I like the Golf Channel.
All right. I do have to tell you about something, though. This is this really bothered me. So a few weeks ago, I was telling you about working on Barry's laptop. Barry is a guy I worked with in Palm Springs. You know Barry, right?
Yeah,
And here in Tucson. And I was really disappointed with his laptop. It being a lower-end HP, the fact that there's no user serviceable areas for changing out A, the battery,
yeah,
B, the memory, and C, the hard drive. Those are the things you generally would upgrade or change, and you would add. So I thought, okay, well, it's a lower-end $249 laptop. Obviously, you know, they're putting the cheapest components in. They don't want you to upgrade anything. They want you to keep it just with what they got, and eventually maybe you'll upgrade. So I paid a visit to Best Buy last week, and I started looking at laptops, trying to find, okay, what laptop could I recommend that does have these ports? Every single laptop, every single one I looked at, starting at $229 all the way up to $1,000, $2,000, all did not have those ports anymore.
Really?
Yeah. The area where you could actually open a back panel, pull out a hard drive, pop in a SATA or pop in a larger capacity drive, change out RAM. Matter of fact, the salesman, because I told the salesman there at Best Buy, I said, you know, this really upsets me because we're taking Dell, HP, Asus, they're taking away that upgradability and adding life to a laptop by saying, no, we don't want you to work on this. Because if you open it, when you officially open that cover, you're breaking a warranty. There's nothing you can do. If you have a warranty on that, you're breaking the warranty. So just be wary. If you go to buy a laptop, check to make sure. But I could not find one in the store. Even the MSI, which was a gaming laptop, didn't have the user serviceable area. And the guy at Best Buy told me that some manufacturers are even going so far as to soldering the memory chips on the motherboard. So, you know, before you could pull out the memory and put in new memory, can't even do that anymore.
What? Seriously?
Yeah. So
that's stupid.
They are saying that now is a good time to buy laptops. If you want to buy a laptop, you're going to find some of the higher end models down for about $400. So if you are deciding that you want to go laptop-wise, that is something to think about, but is also a good time to buy the technology.
Good to know.
We're going to take a quick break. We come back. We've got our website of the week.
This is actually a good one. I'm kind of liking this. I'm still actually clicking around on it, too.
Are you really?
Well, yeah, I am.
You're spending money?
I'm spending money, yes. Not real money, but not my money, but anyway. But yeah, we'll be right back on Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Dietrich Bader from Batman, and you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemme.
I'm Andy Taylor. We were talking about, now's a good time to buy laptops. It's also a pretty good time for digital cameras as well. I don't know if you've seen this. I went out and looked at digital cameras this past week. They're doing really well, price-wise.
Mm.
So if you are thinking now of moving from Nikon to Canon after our Larry Becker on the show, you can get that Canon 80D for a pretty good price.
Okay. All right. I think I'll stick with my Canon. I mean, my Nikon. Yeah. No, see, the thing, again, it's not the body. The body is interchangeable. But the thing is once you start buying lenses, then you're locked into a brand. Because
You can't use an Nikon lenses on a Canon body?
Oh. No, it doesn't. No, you can't. No, exactly. That's the whole purpose. So once you start getting a lens, that's when you really got to, make your decision. Who am I staying with?
Okay. All right. That makes sense. All right. We've
got a website of the week.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like it.
Yeah. This is basically a website where you can go and you can spend Bill Gates's money.
Really? I like that.
It's neal.fun, N-E-A-L, just like the name, neal.fun /spend.
Okay. All right. Let me pop this
and
up here. All right.
You go there and you're presented with $90 billion.
All right.
And you're allowed to buy whatever you want. And so it gives you things like how many, do you want to buy a Big Mac? Oh, that looks good, actually. Cup of coffee, a book, a video game, a gaming console, a drone, a 4K TV. Like, how many of these do you want to buy?
Oh, my gosh.
And you can, obviously, as you go down, it's more and more expensive. I went down to the very bottom right off the bat, and it says you can buy an NFL team.
Okay.
And it's $2.3 billion. For an NFL team. So I thought, well, what would it be if I bought all 32 NFL teams?
All right.
I would still have $16.4 billion left after buying. Yeah. So then I could also, after that, then I could buy, I could buy 10 cruise ships and I'd still have $3 billion
left. That is so funny. That's exactly to the area I went just now and bought six.
Okay, and then let's see. I could buy a couple Ferraris. Let's say five Ferraris. I'd still have $3.2 billion. Oh, food trucks. I'm going to buy 70 food trucks.
Right.
And I'd still have $3 billion left. Okay. Then I'm going to buy, how about this? I'm going to buy.
This can't be right.
500,000 drones. And I would still, I have 500,000, 50,000, 50,000 drones. I still have $3.1 billion left. Oh, and I need a place to live. So let's go ahead and buy 50 mansions, and I'd still have $605 million left.
Wow.
So you can just spend all of his money and, see what you
can
do.
It's kind of fun, actually, to go through and imagine.
Yeah. So basically, my shopping spree, if you go to the very, very bottom, it says your shopping spree. I own 50,000 drones, 6 Ferraris, 11 cruise ships, 72 food trucks, 51 mansions, and all 32 NFL teams.
Wow.
And okay. I still have $605 million
I just spent all my money. This really? Is what I own.
Okay.
A diamond ring, 10 of them, 25 fire trucks, 71 F-16s, 11 mansions, 5 NBA teams, 22 Ferraris, 51 pizza shops, 21 skyscrapers, 6 cruise ships, and 32 NFL teams. I love it. This is fun. Nice. You got to go. It's neil.fun/spend. Spend Bill Gates money.
That is really cool.
I hope he doesn't come to my door looking for his money back.
I know, right?
You imagine you open the door. You open the door tomorrow morning, and there's 25 fire trucks sitting in your front lawn, and UPS with delivering your trucks.
An entire air force of planes over.
I love it. Yeah. All right, got to check out that website. That's our website of the week, and that's it for this week's show. We'll be back next week with more of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemme. Don't forget, check us out on the web, techtalkradio.com. We'll see you next week.